Did. Well, good morning, everyone. It's good to see you this morning. How many of you enjoy giving and receiving gifts? You like that? I enjoy that. I love to give gifts. It's a lot of fun. And this is the time of year when we see the discussion around gifts a little more prominent than other times of the year, and I want to talk this morning about gifts, about God's gifts, and I'll get to a specific in a little bit. Normally, when I give a handout for my sermon notes, I don't include all of the scriptures written out, but I did that so that we could look at them all at the same time to gather a sense for the consistency of the thought that God had concerning Christ and that Christ had concerning himself. As we set the stage for a discussion about an amazing gift. You know, I think as Christians, we can live our lives and appreciate the benefits of our faith without sometimes appreciating the one who made those benefits possible. So I'd like to point us to an amazing gift, really the centerpiece of God's gift to mankind, without which there would be no redemption. There would be no salvation. So I'd like just to invite us to center our thoughts and our hearts there for a little bit this morning. So you look, notice here, God is an amazing gift giver. John 3:16, and if you have your notes, I'll go through them here. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. You see, God was under no obligation to give us Christ. It was a gift. He gave his only begotten Son. 1 John 4:9 and 10 says, and this was manifested, the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. So once again, we see God not only gave his Son, he sent his Son. Romans 8:31 and 32 says, what shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? I love that phrase. It's a great, encouraging phrase. He that spared not his own Son. Implicit in that statement is a tremendous amount of personal pain involved when surrendering your Son to what Jesus went through. But he goes on, but delivered him up for us all. How shall we then not with him also freely give us all things? So God has gave his Son, he has sent his Son, he has delivered his Son. Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So we see here that God gave his Son, he sent his Son, he delivered his Son, and through his Son he brought eternal life. And that's why I believe in 2 Corinthians 9:15, the Bible says, thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. Unspeakable literally means it transcends the ability to communicate and articulate. We will never know this side of heaven just how powerful redemption is. We will never appreciate fully the magnitude of the gift of Jesus Christ this side of heaven. But today I'd like to just invite us to get a little closer to appreciating it like we should and can. But God the Father is not the only amazing gift giver. If you look on down, Jesus Christ his Son, Mark 10:45, for even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. So not only did God give, send, and deliver his Son, but Jesus Christ himself says, I'm giving my life as well. In other words, God didn't force me into this. God didn't make me do this. I willingly subordinated myself to the will of the Father. I'm giving myself freely. He says in John 10:18, no man taketh it, my life he's referring to, from me. No man takes my life from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take that up again. This commandment have I received of my Father. He says, don't feel bad for me. The Jews aren't taking my life. The Romans aren't taking my life. I'm giving my life. I'm giving it freely. You know, our ability to give gifts just is dwarfed by God's. It's just dwarfed by God's. In 1 Timothy 2, 5 and 6, it says, "For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all, to be testified in due time." So we see here, Jesus, God didn't just say, "You go," and Jesus, "Well, if I have to, I will." I'm going. I'm willingly going, and I'm willingly going to give my life. I'm going to offer it as a sacrifice. I am going to let God redeem mankind through my flesh. In 1 Peter 1:18 and 19, it says, "For as much as ye know that we are not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold, from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as a lamb without blemish and without spot." And then lastly, Hebrews chapter 9, verses 12 to 14. I don't think I put that on the sheet, did I? Is it on there? Okay, good. I'm not sure where I didn't do yours. It says, "Neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he," Christ, "he entered in once unto the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us." Boy, if there's anything that should enliven and just really thrill your heart, is Christ obtained eternal redemption. Never to be lost. You didn't earn it, and you can't lose it. It was the work of Christ. "Having obtained eternal redemption for us, for if the blood of bulls and of goats and the ashes of an heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctifieth to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God?" He says, if all those human sacrifices could accomplish a little bit, what does the blood of Christ do? It's amazing. But notice here that Jesus Christ offered himself. Not only was God sending a gift in his Son, and not only was Christ giving a gift in himself, but Christ was also giving a gift to God. An eternal sacrifice through the power of the Holy Spirit back up to God to be received by the Father on your behalf. To be there to be applied to your account if you say yes to Jesus. So there's a lot of gift giving going on. And in all of that gift giving, we are the recipients. We are the benefactors. That's the beauty of a perfect gift. And God the Father gave the Son, and then the Son gave himself for us to God the Father again. What a beautiful picture of redemption. And you know, at the centerpiece of all of this is the blood of Christ. And we should not allow ourselves to forget the blood of Christ this Christmas, because it truly is the most profound, costly gift of all. Because if Christ had come but not shed his blood and died, there'd be no redemption. There's no remission of sins without the shedding of blood. It's important to remember that that baby in a manger became a savior on a cross. He was there and he bled and he died. And he offered that eternal sacrifice for your sin and for mine. And there is beauty and power and pain in that sacrifice. Let's pray. Heavenly Father God, I want to just thank you and praise you. Lord, I don't know where I would be if I wasn't your child. God, even as your child, I am painfully aware at times of how desperately I need you. How capable of ungodly thoughts and temptations that seem attractive, God, that Lord, truly, without you, we are undone. I pray you would just help us to center our hearts and our minds, dear Lord, on the true price tag of the unspeakable gift of redemption through your Son. In Christ's name, amen. You know, the word rare means something that exists in limited quantity. Who can give me an example of a rare metal? How about gold? Is gold rare? How many of you have gold in your pocket right now? If you have gold in your pocket, stand up, please, so we can all grab you. No. We say, well, that's rare. Gold is rare. I don't have a bunch of gold sitting in my house, you know. The best gold I have is those little gold coins that are wrapped around chocolate. That's, you know, and they don't last long. But there is an estimated 363,762,732 pounds of gold on the earth. Maybe more than that now, because they're always digging for more. Millions and millions of pounds of gold, and we call it rare. How much blood did Christ have? Gallon and a half? Non-replenishing? He shed that for us. There's nothing more rare that exists on the face of the earth than the blood of Jesus Christ. Nothing replaces it. Nothing can be found a substitute for it. Nothing will work in its place. It's rare. The most rare thing of all. It is precious. A precious thing is something of great value, not to be wasted or treated carelessly. How many of you ladies have a diamond ring? You have a diamond ring because diamonds are considered a precious stone. And they are. But the fact of the matter is they use diamonds in the back of speakers and to put on the blades of saws. Ever heard of a diamond saw? A diamond drill? So don't get overexcited about your diamond. It's really just a saw blade in disguise. Guys, you were getting away with it till now. The point is simply, it's not really precious. We call it precious, but it's not really precious. But in 1 Peter 1:18 and 19, it says, "For as much as ye know that ye are not redeemed with corruptible things as gold and silver and think of diamonds from your vain conversations, received by traditions from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot." There was only one perfect lamb ever. Behold the Lamb of God, the perfect Lamb of God, the precious Lamb of God, who gave his blood for you and for me. Precious, really precious. We use words too casually. Oh, that's precious. When my wife and I first met, she had a dog, a little poodle, a teacup poodle. I don't even know why the thing exists. And every time I would come over, it would yap at me from behind the couch. The whole time. It made visiting very annoying. And she named that dog Precious. And that dog was neither precious nor cute. And not one of a kind. And as we were getting ready to get married and move into our wonderful one-bedroom apartment over in the Stevens Apartments on 1900 Stevens Drive in Richland, my wife says, "Well, what?" My mother-in-law said, "Well, what about the dog?" And I said, "The dog's not going with us." So Shelley had to part with Precious because it wasn't really precious. And we say a lot of things that are precious, but let me just say that the blood of Jesus Christ is the only thing that truly meets that true definition. It's the blood of Christ. It is precious. It is so precious. And then lastly, priceless. Having a value beyond any price that could be paid. On May 4th, the Christie's Auction House sold a Pablo Picasso painting for $106,500,000. Now, somebody could have paid that, but for my budget, that is priceless. I can't even imagine. I don't even like Picasso. Somebody paid $106 million. That's not priceless, though. But Acts 4:12 says, "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." Only the blood of Christ saves. You can't buy it someplace else. You can't get a substitute. You can't find your own way. It is truly priceless. You can't afford it. I can't afford it. And we didn't deserve it. Priceless. The only thing that I know of that is truly rare, precious, and priceless is the blood of Christ. And it truly is the centerpiece of redemption. I invite you to turn with me to Matthew chapter 1, verse 23. The blood is perfect, without flaws or impurities. The blood of Jesus Christ is perfect. Unlike your blood and my blood, we are born in sin. We have a genetic predisposition to sin. The blood of man does not bring about the righteousness that God calls for. Never can. But here in Matthew chapter 1 and verse 23, it says, "Behold, a virgin shall be with child." That was not just a clever thing to put in the story. It was absolutely essential that Christ be born of a virgin, conceived of the Holy Spirit, and not have the sin of man passed on to that conception. And shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is being interpreted, God with us. No sin. God is sinless. Christ in his humanity had to be sinless. The only way that his blood could be applied to your account as if his account had no need for it. In his humanity, there was perfect perfection. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 21, it says, "For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." You see, Christ had no sin, so he could receive ours upon himself. His blood was perfect. Turn to 1 Peter chapter 1. 1. We tend to react badly when we bleed. Anybody here not? Anybody like what I'm talking about? You cut your finger. How many of you go, "Oh, that's a good thing. That's awesome." Right? Yeah. Smash your toe, it starts bleeding, whatever it is. Christ, through his whole life, knew that there would come a time when his blood would be shed for others. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 21, it says, "For unto him," see if I got this right, I'm sure I did. I have the wrong spot here. Let me just share with you what the verse is. I've got the verse written down here. I mistyped the text, but it's talking about Christ. It says, "Who did no sin." Christ did no sin. Now, how many of you can say that you did no sin yesterday? Can you say one day when you didn't sin in some way? In thought or word or deed? The blood of Christ was never tarnished with sin. Our blood, metaphorically speaking, is laced with it. Absolutely laced with it. If I was to pay for my own sin, it would be by my own eternal death. That's how I'd pay for it. That's the price tag. But Christ, his blood is perfect. Praise God for that. The blood of Christ is also perpetual, never ending. How many of you have said, "God, please forgive me for that"? More than once. For that same thing. "I'm going to start eating right tomorrow." Right? We can't keep a promise to ourselves, let alone others. We give ourselves permission to let ourselves down. Our character is not trustworthy, but the blood of Christ is perpetual in its nature. Hebrews chapter 7. Chapter 7 and verse 26 says, "For such an high priest became us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and made higher than the heavens, who needeth not daily as those high priests to offer up sacrifice, first for their own sins and then for the people's. For this he did once when he offered up himself." Christ did it one time. Once was enough. Saved forever. Praise God for that. You know, every year when Christmas comes around and we celebrate the birth of Christ, we can say, "Praise God, I don't have to renew my salvation." I mean, we get renewals for our cars, for our driver's license, for our insurance. I'm excited about no bills in heaven. I can't wait to not get a bill. How exciting. Everything has to be renewed all the time. Hey, it's open enrollment. Hey, this, that, it's all everywhere. Because nothing lasts forever. And because they're always changing the price of things. It's going to cost you more, but you're going to get a little bit less. That's a good thing, right? The blood of Jesus Christ is perpetual, never needing to have any renewal. You may rededicate your life to God, but that's not because the blood has become ineffective, but because you have allowed yourself to drift away in some way, shape, or form. The blood of Jesus Christ is perfectly perpetual. Hebrews 9:12 says, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. When you are tempted to doubt your salvation, just know that the blood of Jesus Christ is perpetual. It's permanent. It never fades away. If you have accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, it does not matter how you feel. What matters is what Christ has done. And his blood is perpetual. Hebrews chapter 10. I'm so thankful that it is. The world is based on everything being temporary. Everything is renewed, or you have to buy a new one. The blood of Jesus Christ just goes on and on and on. It's so wonderful. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 10. By the which we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. And every priest standeth daily ministering and offering oft times the same sacrifice, which can never take away sins. Boy, what a miserable condition that would be in, to have to offer sacrifice after sacrifice, knowing they don't take away sins. But this man, Christ, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God. We so underestimate the permanence and stability of redemption. We live in a world where everything is transient. Everything is coming and going, lasting and then falling apart, needing renewed, needing fixed. Not so with the blood of Christ. Once for all, forever. Reminds me of that movie, The Sandlot. Forever. Sink that into our minds. God's not changing. The transaction is complete. It was accepted, as proved by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. His blood was sufficient, is sufficient, and will always be sufficient to keep you saved. You can't out-sin his blood. Not that you should try, but if you're saved, you can't undo it. The last thing is, the blood is powerful. The blood of Jesus Christ is powerful. Now, I don't know about you and your sin. I don't know the depths to which it has gone or could go, but I know mine. I know mine. And apart from God, I would self-destruct. I might even look successful doing it in the world, but I would self-destruct morally, in my character, and so would you. You know how powerful of a force your self can be. Sin is powerful, and it finds in our flesh accomplices. But the blood of Christ is more so. 1 Peter chapter 1. We looked at this earlier. I want to look at it again. For as much as ye know that you are not, verse 18, for as much as ye know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things, things that fade, things that run out of power, things that lose their ability, as silver and gold, for your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as a lamb without blemish, without spot. You can't buy redemption. The power of redemption comes only through the blood of Christ. The power to save us is God's power. And that power was expressed in the blood of his Son on the cross. Revelation 5, 9 says, they sang a new song, saying, thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. Redeem means to make purchase. Christ has purchased us with the buying power of his blood. And there's nothing on the other side of the scale that can match it. The blood of Christ is truly perfect. The blood of Christ is perpetual, eternal in its working. And the blood of Christ is powerful beyond imagination. Turn to John chapter 4 with me, please. John chapter 4. This is the account of Jesus going through Samaria and meeting the woman at the well. And in chapter 4 and verse 10, Jesus says this to her. Jesus answered and said unto her, "If thou knewest the gift of God, and who it was that saith to thee, give me drink, thou wouldest have asked him, and he would have given thee living water." That's the question that I have for you this morning. Do you know the gift of God? Do you know him? Not do you know of him, not do you know about him, not have you heard of him, not do you agree with him. Do you know him? Do you know the gift of God, the unspeakable gift of God? Enough to know that he gave his precious, perpetual, powerful blood to redeem you. If you're here this morning and you've never accepted Christ as your Savior, you've never said yes to Jesus, you've never acknowledged your inability to save yourself, you've never said, "God, I repent of my sins and I turn to you," never said, "I need a Savior," then you don't know him. And right now, that means all the price for all your sin is on you. That's what it means. It means you're saying, "I want to pay the price for my life. I'll pay the freight." Unaware that that is an eternal, never-ending payment in hell. Jesus said to her, "If you knew the gift of God," do you know the gift of God? If you do this morning, celebrate this Christmas season not just with a gift of his birth, but more so with a gift of his blood that redeemed you from sin. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, God, I want to thank you this morning, Lord, for your blood. God, when we stop and just think about it, imagine ourselves called upon to do that. Imagine our own son or daughter called upon to do that. God, it's overwhelming. And yet, Father, you gave your son. And Jesus, you gave your life. And you shed your blood that we might have the redemption that God had planned. I pray that this Christmas, Lord, that we would be most mindful, not of the things under the tree, but of the blood that flowed down the cross. Lord, the blood that pulled up at the base of the cross, that paid the price for our sin, that had the power to eradicate, God, every person's sin. Let us be thankful, I pray, and also confident in you, full of hope, full of peace, and full of joy because of what you have done through your Son, in whose name I pray.
If you could turn in your hymnals to number 476 with me, "I Surrender All," just as Pastor Randy was speaking. The most precious gift that we could ever receive is Jesus Christ.